Now to Annie Haswell, who's here with the latest on the virus and more.
Hi, Sarah.
Hi, Annie.
Well, the coronavirus is continuing to spread across the world. Nearly 5 million confirmed cases in 188 countries and more than 300,000 people dead. In the last 24 hours, there's been the biggest rise in new cases in a single day since the outbreak began. 106,000 new cases and two-thirds of those in just four countries. Meanwhile, in Australia, our curve slows and flattens. 7,077 confirmed cases. We've got 11 new ones overnight, but recovered 6,444, so leaving only about 600 still suffering and 100 deaths.
Interesting to watch how differently countries are dealing with it.
Yes, well, in Spain, there's a new government order that you have to wear a mask outside, even as some businesses reopen. Egypt's confirmed more than 13,400 coronavirus cases and 650 deaths, and they've announced a coronavirus tax on incomes of 1%. In Italy, they fear that one-third of restaurants may go bust, with a loss of 300,000 jobs.
And coronavirus has had a dramatic effect on the way people use the dating app Tinder.
Well, read this however you like, but Tinder users made 3 billion swipes worldwide on Sunday the 29th of March, probably the most anxious day in the beginning days of COVID-19. And that was the most the app has ever recorded in a single day.
I'm going to leave that right there. Shock jock Alan Jones has been rapped over the knuckles by the Australian Communications and Media Authority.
Yes, after lots of complaints about Jones's comments that New Zealand Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern should have a sock shoved down her throat, Australia's media watchdog has found that he breached broadcasting decency rules. But the punishment's unlikely to worry Jones, who announced his retirement last week. ACMA said he would have to provide an on-air apology, and 2GB has agreed to incorporate the investigation's findings into future staff training.
Now, the coalition has had a lot of criticism about what its plans are for the country's energy future, and it's released a roadmap.
Yes, the technology investment roadmap was released this morning by the Energy Minister, Angus Taylor. It's been criticised as elevating gas to the centre of Australia's energy strategy and endorsing discredited carbon capture and storage technology and nuclear power. There are warnings it will cook the reef from the Australian Marine Conservation Society. I spoke to Barrier Reef spokesperson Shani Tager.
Look, we're disappointed that the technology roadmap really emphasised fossil fuels and old ways of doing things at a time when our reef is suffering the impacts of climate change.
Is there a specific connection between gas and the reef?
When gas is mined and when it's burned, you know, it contributes to global warming and to climate change. And we're seeing really significant impacts from that heating on our reef with bleaching that's affecting the ecosystem. So what we do on land and how we generate our energy really matters when it comes to protecting the reef. This is the wrong pathway that they're choosing at the moment, and it's really important to highlight that. So we'll make sure that our voice and the voice of many people who want to see a clean future is raised in the process.
Others are more positive. Tony Wood is the Energy Program Director at the Grattan Institute. He says it sets up a roadmap, but without any clear idea of how we get there.
This roadmap sets out the framework and the range of technologies very well indeed. It doesn't then look at how would you deploy these technologies, because one thing about it, which is a bit strange, is it seems to imply that all we have to do is drive the cost of these technologies down to the point where they're competitive with existing technologies and people will use them. We still seem to have this view that these technologies will be cheaper than the alternatives. Now, in some cases they will be. Like renewable energy is almost certainly cheaper than coal today. But in others, like one of the examples in this report is carbon capture and storage. Now, the example they use there, it's clearly the case that there is a cost associated with capturing the carbon and storing it. And that will never be zero, even if the objective of this roadmap is to get that cost down as low as possible. So you're still left with you're still left with the second part of the equation, and that is deploying the technologies to achieve whatever emissions reduction goals we will have into the future.
On the good side, what today's roadmap does do is recognise the role of batteries, alternative fuels and electric vehicles.
Thanks, Annie.
Thanks, Sarah.